May be seated. Normally at this time we would dismiss our children to children's church, but we're going to invite our children to stay with us today so they can hear from our missionaries to Africa, Tom and Sherry. And so, little ones, we're glad that you're able to stay with us, because I think it's important for us not only to hear from Tom and Sherry and the work of the Lord in Africa, but I think it's important for us to hear from the Lord. And what I mean by that is, you never know who amongst us here today will sense the call of God on your life into the ministry and perhaps as a missionary. Amen? And so it's good for us to hear from our missionaries. And it's good for us, myself included, those of us that sit here on a weekly basis, to hear from the Lord. Because some of us, some of you, myself, as he called Tom and Sherry, some of you, when we make ourselves available to the living God, will be called by God to his service in another place. And so it's good for us to be here today to be reminded of this. I met Tom and Sherry several years ago. They were pastoring in southern Wisconsin, and they sensed that call of God to the foreign field. They've been with us here before in Motley. They have shared their heart with us that God was calling them to Africa. They have just spent the last 2 years plus there, sensing further that God would continue to have them there. They're back in America for a time to raise support so they can go back there longer term. So God has put it on their heart to minister to the good people there in that region of Africa. And they are here today to tell you some about that, and to tell you what their future plans are. And so I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to make welcome Tom and Sherry. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you again for the privilege that is ours here today in America to worship you in the freedoms that we enjoy. That is not the case all over the globe. And so, Father, help us not to take for granted all the things that we enjoy in America, these bountiful blessings. And Father, as we sit here this morning in this church, and really churches across America, help us to be mindful that part of following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, for some of us that will be a call into the ministry of some kind. And I pray that we are listening to your voice today, Father, as you speak to us through your son and daughter. I pray that we are listening to your voice to come alongside them in prayer, in financial help, and maybe in some cases somebody here will answer the call, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Speak to us today through your servants. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Please make welcome Tom and Sherry Cahill.
Buona Safiwe. Buona Safiwe Taina. That means praise God and praise God again. And tunam farahi kuahapa leo katika Motley. Means today we are happy to be with you here in Motley. That's in Swahili. So you'll learn a little bit of Swahili. Jina langu ni Sherry, jina lake ni Tom. My name is Sherry, his name is Tom. We are happy to be with you today, and as the pastor said, we were here back in 2016, and we are excited to report some great news of how God is working in Africa. We have a new model for this transition time, and as we go back to Africa. And this is what it says: instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Now, our goal is to help those leaders and help those out there that can give, we can help them get wisdom and learn how to get wisdom so that they can teach others and many, many souls can be touched for the gospel's sake. The next picture you have there is a photo of our family. I don't know if you've seen this one. I don't think you have. But on the far left is our youngest son, James, and that's his wife, Michelle. They've been married now for nearly 3 years. Next to them is our oldest son, John, and his wife, Jocelyn. Now we have exciting news about them. They are expecting our first grandchild on May 12th. So we are excited about that. And then, yay. And then you have our daughter there, Caitlin, and she is there between Tom and I. So we are very proud of our family. We wanted to get some pictures in front of you so that you can see our family. Habari ya asubuhi. Some more Swahili. Any guess on what that could be? What that might mean? Well, that means, what's the news of the morning? Or a lot of times you might say habari ya mchana, which would be what is the news of the noontime hour, the afternoon. The next photo is a brief, a picture of a rainforest, and there's a picture also of a lion cub there. We were able to capture that photo in the Nairobi Park. Very blessed to be able to get that. And then the next photo you'll see, a slide you'll see several animals that we've been able to capture pictures of. Kids, I hope you like those. The elephant, he was in an elephant orphanage and was distanced, or his mother was killed somehow. And so they were able to rescue the elephant and put him in this orphanage so they can help him grow up and then be put back into the wild again. Of course, they have the monkeys and the other things there, the warthog and the giraffe. So as we were in Kenya, we served as visa missionaries on a 2-year mission term. We did a lot of things during that time. We worked with the Springs of Hope Bible School. We conducted district seminars. We mentored pastors and leaders all across Kenya. We conducted Bible studies, both individuals and groups. We spoke at youth retreats. We talked about team building at teachers' retreats. And we did some consulting in Tanzania. That sounds like a lot of stuff to do, and it really was. The next slide, we'll learn another Swahili word, karibu. Can you say that with me? Karibu. Let's try it one more time. Karibu. And that word means welcome. All right, so you learned a Swahili word today, right? Okay, so as we traveled all through Kenya, there were several things that we noticed. One thing was we noticed there was evidence of the Holy Spirit working throughout the country. Another thing we noticed was as we were ministering, there were lives that were changed. And we're going to talk some more about that in a moment. Spiritual growth, as we spoke in our seminars and district seminars, we saw these leaders digging deeper into God's word, spiritual growth. One of our main assignments was the Springs of Hope Bible School. This is a picture of the main building on campus. Tom did some teaching there and some helping with the leadership. I did some other things. But in the very far left, you'll see some doors. That's a classroom, one classroom for the deacons there. And the second door over, if you go through that door to the left, you'll see a little open area. And that's where the guys would sleep on their mattresses on the floor. And if you go to the right, you would find the library, which is where I worked. All right. So the next picture is Tom teaching there at the Bible school. This is a young lady named Esther. Esther has a very promising future. She translated everything that Tom said in the deacon's class into Swahili. And actually, she got to know Tom so well and the way he was speaking that he was like, oh, no, no, wait, wait. She's like, I gotcha. You know, so she would just pick up on all of that stuff, and she's a top student. She would translate all day in class, then she would go back and she would get notes from her fellow students, and then she would study in the evening, and she'd be still this top student even through all of that. We're praying that Esther can go on and do some additional college work, but we'll see with time how that might work.
She actually graduated as the top student, so just so you know. Doing that plus the ability to graduate with the highest GPA.
Yeah, she was one. She was the top student. To the right, you'll see me there in the library. We rearranged some books, reorganized, and there were over 1,600 volumes in the library. Of course, there's new books donated all the time, so keeping up with that. This young lady here with me, her name is Brenda. She was our Swahili teacher's daughter. Our Swahili teacher came to me and said, you know, I wonder if you would teach my daughter a little bit of administrative skills, so give her a leg up as she goes through college. I said, sure. So she came in and we taught her some administrative skills there in the library. The next slide, you'll see two buildings. These buildings were not there when we arrived. The first one on the top, you'll see at the very top of it, there's a solar panels. It's encased in some wiring. The wiring is protected from theft. But we had money donated for these solar panels, and they said, we want to put them up high and keep them up away from theft issues. And so we got to thinking about it, and Tom says, you know, why don't we just make that into a building? The ladies need a good dorm to sleep in, and right now they're sleeping in this rundown building with a mud building. It's falling down. It's a dirt floor, and they're just putting their mattresses on the floor to sleep, and they need something nicer. So we were able to construct this building, and the girls also ended up with some bunk beds, and they were very, very happy about that. So that was an exciting addition to the campus when we were there.
The guys were jealous because they didn't have a bunk bed. So we not only lifted the girls up into a building that they could sleep in, they were happy with that. We gave them bunk beds, so now they're higher.
Yeah.
We empowered the women.
And if you understand the Kenyan society of how women are kind of looked down upon more than men kind of have the top status in the family and so forth, this really elevated the women there on the campus, and it made a big difference. The bottom building picture there is a building of a dining hall. We had a work team come over with some funds, and we were able to construct this building, this dining hall. Not only were they able to construct it, but they were able to put 8 picnic tables in there for the students to sit on. Prior to this time, they were sitting on rocks. They would sit in the classroom, and then they come out, and if it's not raining, sit on the rocks and just eat their food. If it was raining, they would go back into the classroom, stay in the classroom, and just eat lunch in there. So this provided a couple things. It provided them a good place away from the classroom to have lunch off of the rocks. And also, this gave us an opportunity to break some cultural barriers, because it was not common for the teachers and the leaders to have lunch with the students. They would always set us aside another room, just a way of showing us respect. But we really wanted, we longed to meet with the students and chat more with them and spend time with them and have lunch with them. And this provided an opportunity for us all to get together and do that. And so that was a really exciting addition to the campus. In graduation 2018, happened December last year. And here's a picture of those who graduated or who were just finishing paying some fees. There's a couple in there that had one class left to do. But we're excited to be part of that graduation ceremony. One of the other things we did is we traveled all throughout Kenya conducting seminars. In these seminars, we talked about spiritual formation. We talked about money, taking care of God's earth. We talked about leadership and so many other topics. But God blessed our time there. And as we taught these seminars, we saw the people were eager to learn. And they would get their Bibles out, and they would take their notes. And we heard even later after we left that we're still applying this. This has really been helpful to us. And they're excited about how God is working in their lives, in their churches, and as they continue to share the information they've received with others as well. This is a typical path that once we would drive to the seminar, usually our conference superintendent, Martin Anami, would drive our car there because we didn't know how to get there. And so he would drive our car, and then we would park it. Often we'd pick our backpacks and take a walk down a path like this. A couple times we had a path that was up the side of a mountain. And I had just injured my foot, and I had to get a bike ride, a motorbike ride, up the side of the mountain. I was a little bit nervous about that, but God protected us. And but this is a normal path that you would see. On the next slide, you'll see on the left, I'm teaching there. And this is a brand new church building. This church was kind of out, way out in the country, in the bush part. And they were saving up money for a new building. And most churches, when they get money for a building, they'll start and they'll build the bricks first, and then they'll put the roof on. But this church said, you know what? Rainy season is coming. We want to worship in our new church. And so they decided to put the roof on first. So we were there for a seminar, but this was it was very dry. The rains had not come. And so as you're sitting there teaching, there's this dust that keeps flying, and you get it in your mouth and your nose, and it's really dusty. So you're teaching outside. But it had some advantages, too. You know, you can hear all the birds, and it was fun and stuff. But that was one of our settings. To the far right there, you see Tom teaching with our conference superintendent, Pastor Martin. And he translated for us during our seminars. It was we were lucky if we could get a chalkboard, which you see in this picture. And a lot of times it was just us teaching or giving them handouts. We translated some of it into Swahili. We didn't translate it. We had a translator do it for us, our teacher. But we were able to get some information into these people's hands where they could apply it, some practical helps on how to study the Bible. On the next slide, my voice is giving me trouble. This is a group of students, university students, we conducted a Bible study with. Sorry about that. We've been fighting colds, so. We met this young lady sitting on the chair there, brilliant. You want to point out brilliant? Brilliant. She was at a district seminar, and she says, you know, I'm just here home for the weekend. I'm actually going to college over near where you live in Eldoret. And she said, I would love to learn more about how to study the Bible. And so we arranged for her to come to our home. And she says, I have a group of friends that would love to come too. So we started this Bible study in our home with these university students. As we taught them how to study the Bible, at the end of our first session, these girls, they call you Mama. They call you Mama Sherry. They're, Mama Sherry, would you teach us how to make a cake? So that was really sweet. And at first I thought, how are they going to make a cake? Because they're used to cooking over a fire. And how are they going to cook a cake over the fire? But they did. They tried it, and it worked. But they learned how to make some American dishes. They wanted to learn some American foods and how to use the appliances that us Americans use. And they also learned how to carry on a Bible study, even after we left, so that they can continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. These girls, they grew spiritually. We could tell it. They desired to dig deeper into God's word, and because you guys prayed and you guys gave, you guys made a difference in these ladies' lives. Here's a few extra blessings that came along the way. Pastor Martin Anami on the far right, we talked about him earlier, and that's his wife, Zipporah. On the far left, you have Shabir and Irma, his wife, and this is a Muslim couple that we were ministering to in Eldoret. He owns a couple of restaurants, bakeries, and we were able to meet him there one day having coffee and just connected really well with him. And we hope that our time there, we were able to minister to him effectively. In the middle there, you see a kid. This is one of the pastor's kids there in Eldoret. I want to close my part of this time together today with telling you a little bit about Pastor Stanley. Pastor Stanley, he shared with me his story. You see, when he was a young boy, he kind of had a rough life. He was born, and his father wanted to kill him. He didn't want him there. And so Stanley, his life was always in danger. One day, he found out his mother had been beaten, and she was beaten very badly. And she decided that for her own safety, she would have to leave the home. So this left Stanley with his father. He was 5 years old at this time. Now, Stanley was a smart young man, like many of you young ones are here, and he knew that he was not safe in this situation. So he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to live on the streets. So he went and he became a street kid from the age of 5 to the age of 12, and God protected him all those years. I asked him, what did you do? And he's like, I scavenged for food. I just ate food wherever I could find it. I stole food if I had to. I would look for a building that had a window open at the night so that I could get out of the rains, and I would climb in the window, sneak in, and sleep there, and then climb back out early in the morning. So from the age of, from 5 to 12, he lived on the streets doing this. Well, at the age of 12, someone recognized him, and they knew his mother, and they were able to reunite the two of them. And so that was a happy story there. But, you know, even as they were reunited, Stanley had all this baggage that he had been carrying from his childhood. You know, he kind of felt unloved and unwanted. Like, why am I here? What is the hope? Why? Where is the hope? Well, there was a Free Methodist pastor that approached him, and he shared with him about the love of Jesus and the hope that we have for a better life in Jesus Christ. Well, that day, Stanley gave his life to Jesus, and we praise God for that. Well, Stanley today, he is a Free Methodist pastor in a church in Kibera, one of the largest slums in Kenya. He's also a chaplain for one of our ICCM schools there in Kibera. He is the Bible quiz director over all of Kenya. He is the director of youth on the Highlands Conference. And in December 2018, Stanley graduated as an elder from the Springs of Hope Bible School. So we share that story with you today because your money and your prayers, they do make a difference. And God will continue to use you. Maybe, like Pastor said, he'll call some of you even to go. So we just praise God for your partnering with us. And with that, I'm going to let Tom share some more exciting news with you.
I bet you thought my only job was to use the clicker, right? One of the great opportunities we have is to invest in people's lives. And that's what the gospel's about, isn't it? That's what it is, what it means to be a Christian, is to invest in people's lives for the sake of the mission of God. God's already at work. His mission is in process. Our role, our job as believers in Jesus Christ is to find out where that mission is going, where it's at, and to join him where he calls us to join him. And it's exciting to be able to do that. Sometimes people have asked us, why do you do what you do? Because what we do is something that is a little different than what other people do, because we focus on leadership development. And see, here in America, that's kind of a novelty because we have so many colleges. You can get them online. You can go to a brick-mortar school. I mean, you can get your education. And so for us in America, we don't think about the understanding of leadership development for pastors. But yet, according to the Center for Study of Global Christianity, there's approximately 2.2 million ministers in the world. Now, there's another study that has it higher, but the percentages are still the same. And they say that only 5% are trained, formally trained, for pastoral ministry in the world. Do you know where that 5% pretty much is? Europe and America. The rest of the world, South America, Asia, Africa, fall into that 95% that have pastors, but yet they do not have any type of formal training, and therefore their knowledge is very limited. Their understanding and their depth is very limited. In fact, in Africa, there are more churches that call themselves Christians that are more cultish in their makeup, or syncretistic, and syncretism or syncretistic basically means the blending of two religions together. So there would be a blending, in particular, a blending of Christianity with African traditional religion. So those two belief systems will come together and will be used, even if the African traditional religion system goes opposed to what the Bible teaches. That's ignored, and they blend it together because they don't have the depth of knowledge and understanding of Scripture that they need. And if the pastors don't have it, then you know that the lay people don't have it. Therefore, there's about approximately 2 million pastoral leaders that need immediate strengthening for their pastoral ministries. That's a lot, isn't it? In fact, African Leadership, and there's another group in East Africa that give the similar statistics, says that 95% of church leaders in Africa lack formal theological training. And we wonder sometimes why we get these quirky theologies that come out. And that's not in the Bible. Where does that come from? Because they don't have the training. And so our call, our gift, is to try to help develop and influence and deepen these people who are called to ministry, whether it's pastoral ministry, whether it's lay ministry, whether it's missions, whatever they're called to help them go deeper in their understanding and knowledge so that they can be more effective, not only to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is very important to do, amen? Let's try that again. Not only is it very important for us to get knowledge for Jesus Christ, but to reach others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Sorry, that's a little African in me coming out. I was influenced in 2 years. And so we need to have this, and we need to have it so we can get it to our lay people. And if the pastors don't have it, the lay people aren't going to have it. And if the lay people don't have it and the pastors don't have it, then getting it to people who are outside the kingdom of God, they're never going to get it. So it's very important for us. This next screen is important for us to understand and to see. Pew Research Center states that at the current trend, the way things are going at this moment, at this time, that by the year of 2050, Islam, Muslims, will be the highest population and the strongest religion in the world. Islam is making more impact globally than others around the world. Some people have said, well, that's because they have a lot of kids. Well, they do have kids, and they have more kids than we have in America. But that's not why. It's because they have their own evangelistic push. They believe in evangelizing for their faith, their belief. They believe that they should be teaching others about Islam, and they have material, and they have an apologetics, they have a defense for Islam, and they go out and they teach it to others. It's not only through a means of being mean to people or threatening people. It's a means of just communicating with people and trying to talk people into their understanding and why their religion is more important than your religion or your belief. And if they're out there doing it and we're not doing it as Christians, what's going to happen? So this is what's projected. It doesn't have to be this way, but currently at the current trends, this is what's projected. Operation World gives us some other statistics globally. They say that the population growth is 1.2% in the world. Currently, Buddhism is growing at 1.3%. Hinduism is growing at 1.2%. Islam is growing at 1.9%. And Christianity is growing at 1.2%. Christianity would be a generic figure. Anybody that calls themselves Christian. Do you know what these numbers are in the United States? Are you interested in knowing what those numbers are in the United States? Nah. The population growth in the United States is 1%, according to the same site. Which one of these three do you think is the fastest growing in America? That's a good guess, but you're wrong. The fastest growing religion in America is Buddhism at 2.9%. Hinduism's growing at 2.3%. Islam's growing at 1.9%. Christianity, in the study that they show on Operation World, they break it out into Christianity and evangelicals. Christianity being anybody that doesn't call themselves evangelical. Okay? Christianity is growing at 0.3%. Evangelicals are growing at 0.8%. Do you hear me? We need to be aware of what's going on. And we need to be training ourselves and teaching ourselves, but we also need to be teaching others. And we need to find a way around the world for Christians to be able to dialogue and find a way to touch people's lives and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everyone's going to be a little different. Everybody has a story of why they're not a believer in Jesus Christ. We need to know what that story is so that we can begin to understand and ask the Holy Spirit to help us and do our research and learn how we then can begin to help them come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Because everybody has a different story. And we can't cookie cut it. Part of our growing and part of our learning is to be able to understand that and to find a way to help others know about Jesus and why there's true hope in Jesus Christ and change these statistics. So what are we going to be doing? You say, I'm getting out of time, so I got to move along here. I told you I can become it's just the way it is. It's a preacher in me. What are we going to be doing? Well, one of the things that you noticed, Sherry said, that one of the things that we did was that we had consulted with Tanzania. Well, what's that mean? Tanzania, the Free Methodist Church of Tanzania, wanted to start a Bible college. They didn't have one. They have had no training for their pastors for a very, very long time. In fact, only four of their pastors have had any type of a Bible school training. And so they wanted to develop it. And so they connected somehow. Pastor Conrad, who I'll show in just a minute, connected somehow with an individual in a church in Michigan. And the individual was getting ready to retire. He was a very well-off person. He was getting ready to retire. He had put a lot of money back. He was determined that he was going to live high off the hog, as he said. And God told him, no, you can live well, but you're not going to live off the hog. Maybe off the hog's feet or something like that. And so he said, what do I do? And so the Lord got him connected somehow with Pastor Conrad, who had this vision to build a Bible college and train pastors for God's kingdom there in Tanzania. So over 8 years, they slowly have built a campus, and you'll see it here. The campus, this is a dormitory here. The guys are on this side, ladies are on this side. Down here you have the dining hall, and there's a kitchen. Over here you have two buildings, and the far end building is administration, library slash building, and then the building closest right across from the dormitories is the two good-sized classrooms. So you have a nice campus that has been built. And they got finished building it, and they said to Mike Ronan, how many know Mike Ronan? All right, a few of you do. I think you support him as a missionary as well. Mike Ronan is the director for Africa for the Free Methodist Church. And they said, Mike, we got this campus now. We don't know what to do. And he says, oh, I got the people for you. So he connected us and asked us to consult with them to help them put a structure in place and some curriculum in place to begin to offer a certificate in pastoral ministry for the pastors there. And so we did. We met with them twice. The first time was a year ago in April. And then we went back in January as they opened up and ran their very first session. This is a picture of the students here with the very first session. And they had 17 students sign up, and they have just launched their Bible college called Everett Bible College to do training of pastoral ministers. So we have been asked by World Missions to go there for our next tour and to help them work as consultants and teachers and trainers and to help them develop and get the school off the ground and have a good foundation and develop the school. Working with their leadership there. So that's what we're going to be doing. The next thing I wanted to show you is why do we teach? Well, we teach because the Bible instructs us to teach. In fact, just quickly, the Hebrews has teaching used 103 times, Greek 122 times, learning is 55 times, and Greek 43 times. That's a lot of times those words are used. That's not even looking up the other words that deal with education, mentoring, instruction, you know. That's just to give you an idea just what the Bible does. The Bible tells us from the very beginning to the very end that we must instruct one another. Amen? I'm not going to go into that because that's another whole week series. And you don't want a whole week series. So we're going to be doing Everett Bible College. Here is Sherry actually teaching. When we arrived there, just before we were ready to come back, they said, "Oh, Pastor Tom, we don't have a teacher for our inductive Bible study class." Well, thankfully, when you're a preacher, especially in Africa, you have to be what? Always prepared. So I said, okay. And so we decided, I said, well, I'm only going to be here 4 days, so we'll do what we can in 4 days, and then you'll have to finish up the class, and here's all the material. And I had already sent them the material ahead of time to kind of look at and see what they wanted to use, so they had everything. And so we went ahead, and I began to teach right here. That's me with National District Superintendent Yesity translating for me. And then I became very sick, very sick. And so then Sherry says, "What do we do?" And I smiled. I said, "Hi, dear." She says, "No." I said, "Yes, you can do it." And she had been teaching in seminars. She just hadn't been teaching at the college. And she's quite capable, by the way, though she hasn't told you, but she's working on a doctorate right now. So I say that because I'm proud of her. She's working hard on that. And so I said, "Here's the material. Here's where I ended up. Go ahead." And she did. She did a fine job. There she is. And then here's some people from around the area. They're milling around from different churches and stuff that came when we first arrived. So we will be going there to the Bible College. And here you can see these two buildings a little bit better. This is a classroom, two classrooms there, and then the administration building. Reverend Conrad Biote is the director of the Gaita District. He's also going to be the director. He's the superintendent of the district. Of the Gaita District, and he's going to be the director of the Bible College. Conrad grew up in a home that was Roman Catholic and African traditional religion. It was syncretistic. His father died at 18. He began to take offerings to the African traditional religion temples to help his family out and to ask their gods for blessings and to help the family because they came poor. Nothing was happening. Eventually, a family friend of his says, "You need to understand what it means to be a true Christian with a relationship with Jesus." He understood something about Christianity from his Roman Catholic background, but he didn't understand it fully. So a Free Methodist pastor spoke with him and helped him understand. He accepted Christ in a new way. He was always a student of learning. He went on to Bible College. He eventually became an evangelist, then a pastor, now district leader, and now will be director. He said to me, he says, "Pastor Tom," he says, I'm not a teacher. I said, "That's okay. We can find teachers, but we need a director." And he had the ability of good administration. He has the ability of good communication, and that's what you need in a director. So he is our director. Buona Asafiwi. Everybody say Buona Asafiwi. Praise God. Village church planting, we will engage in somewhat with village church planting. I don't have time to go into that now. This is Fatuma, again, another interesting story. She is one of our first ladies at the Bible school as a student. Having women go to Bible college in Tanzania is not heard of very strongly, even though we have them as pastors. So we have two ladies that have been accepted and are into Bible college, and that's a huge thing for Tanzania to be able to do. So prayers, first of all, continue to pray for Kenya. Pray that they will continue to grow and grow deeper in their walk with God. Pray for Tanzania, that through the Bible College we will develop strong, unified leaders to develop strong, biblical, and spiritually deep, healthy churches to reach others and disciple them to maturity. Pray that our funding will come in so we can return to Africa. Excuse me. And finally, we have 300 prayer supporters. Got that tickle. Sorry. Excuse me. You can read what's up there, right? I've had some people say, "Pray every day." What? Me? Pray every day? I said, "Do you have 30 seconds? How many here have 30 seconds in a day? If you don't have 30 seconds in a day, talk to me afterwards, okay?" that you're doing something wrong. If you have 30 seconds in a day, you can easily say, you can take this little picture, focus on the short person in the picture. She's better looking. Unless you want to be scared, then you focus on the second one, the bigger guy. And just say, Lord, be with the Cahills, be with their ministry, be with the ministry in Africa, be with the Free Methodist Church ministry in Africa, and you know the needs, minister to them and provide. 30 seconds or less. Now, if you sign up, we'll send you some information from time to time for specific prayers where you can pray a little bit longer. Okay? But if you can do 30 seconds, you can be one of our 300 or more. It would be great to blow that number out of the water. All right? And we have a sign-up sheet in the back. Okay? So we want to thank you very much for your time. Thank you for partnering with us. And I know I've gone right up to the wire. That's just me. Lord bless you. Thank you so much for being with us, allowing us to be with you.
Thank you, Tom and Sherry. What I want to do is remind you that even though you've come to the first service, there will be potluck dinner after the second service, and you can continue to mingle around here and visit with Tom and Sherry if you'd like to. Or if you'd like to visit with them throughout the week, there's a clipboard back here. You could sign that and visit with them over a meal or something. And so to close, what I want us to do is just invite some of you again to come forward and lay hands on Tom and Sherry. And we just continue to pray for them and commission them as they prepare to go back. So let's all stand. And some come around, gather around Tom and Sherry. I want to invite you to come and just lay hands on them, and we will pray for them as we close this service. God, our Father, thank you again for the call that you have placed on Tom and Sherry. Thank you for what you are doing in Kenya. Thank you for what you are doing in Tanzania. Thank you for what you will do through these, your servants, as they return there. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless them, that you would make your face to shine upon them, and that you would go with them in their months here in America, in their fundraising efforts, in their prayer support raising efforts. Bless them, O God, and as they go back, do a powerful work that can only be attributed to you, our Heavenly Father. We've seen the statistics, Father. We are well aware of that. We ask for an outpouring of your Spirit on the church. We ask that you would revive your church in North America and around the globe. We ask that you would use people like Tom and Sherry and maybe people that are sitting and standing here today to help others know the good news, whether it's across the street or across the ocean. Bless this couple, Father, in all that they do in serving you, pointing people to the cross and to Jesus Christ. Encourage them and strengthen them and bless them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.